delight in the ways of the God Most High, and to walk in the light of His Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Spirit of living God, we entreat you this day that you would cause your word that has been breathed through the prophets and the apostles of old, not of today, but from the past. For the book of God, both the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and the Brit Hadashah are sealed. There is no new revelation that does not find its foundation in the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, because upon that we build, and the Father's kingdom has been built, and the revelation of the Father has been sent, and we are so blessed to live in this day and age to have it in multiple translations. We thank you, Father God, that your word is sealed, but it is open to all those men and women who have become born again of the Spirit. They have become spiritually alive. And it's the Spirit of the living God that leads us into all truth. Any other voice is just simply a voice. But it's the Spirit of the living God, the great comforter that Yeshua said to his Talmudim, "Do not worry, for I'm not sending you to be alone, but wait until the gift comes, His Spirit." And He breathed upon His 11 Talmudim that day as a beginning of what they were to receive, the fullness, the continuing infilling of the Spirit of the living God for all the rest of their days that they would live on this earth, being filled, equipped, anointed by the Spirit of the living God. So, Father God, we thank you for all your giftings, and we know what your word says and is true. So we ask that today that the Spirit of the living God would rise up in each one of us that are here today and those that are listening on the podcast, and they would hear the Spirit of the living God speak to them. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 10. Acts of Yeshua's Emissaries, chapter 10. We've completed chapter 9. Now we're moving on to chapter 10. And with chapter 10, there is a brand new outreach that's beginning. We see some of these things happening in the Brit Hadashah, especially as I preached to the book of Matthew the last few years. We saw glimpses that the good news was not just only for the Jewish people, but it was to be shared and given to the nations. We see that Yeshua, that he said, and he was, the shepherd to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And for those 3.5 years, that was his main focus. But there were times, there were occasions when people from the nations came and received blessing and healing and strength. This all took place. We see that in the time where there was a Samaritan woman and at the well, and Yeshua spoke to her. She was not part of the Jewish community. She was an outsider. We also see that of the centurion whose servant became ill, and he sent messengers there from the synagogue for Yeshua to speak and come to heal his servant. And that servant was healed. We see on these two occasions, and there are others. But now as we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10, God is now desiring to expand the Messianic community. and to invite and welcome the people from the nations. Up to this point, there was not one individual that came to know Messiah, Yeshua, that were not Jewish. And if we look at chapter 9, it's very, very unique in that a person that appeared to be an enemy of God, Saul of Tarsus, Rav Shaul, who he became known later on, his calling was to the nations, to kings, to governors. That was his main focus, but he was also to minister to the Jewish people. And as we go through the book of Acts, we will see, and as he wrote those epistles in the future, he did not deny his Jewish heritage. He continued to walk and live as a Jewish person who knew the blessed Messiah. So all his culture and his upbringing, he did not lay aside. And so now today we're going to be looking at another individual who's a present apostle, and his name is Kepha. And there are times from our own culture, how we're raised, we perceive and reread people. We gain opinion on people. And so what the Lord is going to be doing here is he's going to be opening up Kepha's eyes. Because up to this point, I'm sure it alarmed the 11 when Yeshua was there and they questioned, why is he speaking to that Samaritan woman? And then with his dealing with the Gentiles, that Roman centurion, they're very, very uncomfortable because that was out of the culture, that was out of the norm. But God is doing a brand new thing. God has died. His son has died upon the tree that all, every tribe, from every nation will come to know his salvation, who is a person, a literal person. It's not a thing, but it's literally a person. And that's why it's very, very important for us who know Yeshua, that we serve him and we keep our personal relationship with him. Because our salvation is found in a person, not in a thing, a thought, a belief, a concept. So let us now begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a Roman officer, in what was called the Italian regiment. And he was a devout man, a God-fearer, and as was his whole household. Think about that. Here was a man who's not a Jew, who happens to be serving an occupying empire. But the word says that he is a God-fearer. Romans had multiple gods. So this man is not living within his culture. He's serving the emperor in an oppressive army, living in the land of Israel, but he became a God-fearer. He believed in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that not only impacted his own life, but it says here his whole household were God-fearing. He gave generously to help the Jewish poor and prayed regularly to God. And notice that it does not say gods. And it's not small g. It's capital G, the one true God. One afternoon around 3:00, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at the angel, terrified. What is it, sir? He asked. Your prayers, replied the angel, and your acts of charity have gone up into God's presence, so that he has you on his mind. Think about that. every person on this earth, the Lord thinks about them from time to time. But this individual was on God's mind because of his charitable works to the Jewish poor, for his prayer, and him living as a God-fearing believer in the God of Abraham. But he still was not a Jew. Let's move forward here. Your acts of charity have gone up into God's presence so that he has you on his mind. Now send some men to Yafo to bring back a man named Shimon, who is also called Kepha. He is standing with Shimon the leather tanner, who has a house by the sea. As the angel that had spoken to him went away, Cornelius called two of his household slaves and one of his military aides, who was a godly man. He explained everything to them and sent them to Yafo. The next day, about noon, when they were still on their way and approaching the city, Kepha went up into the roof of the house to pray. He went up on the roof. Now, many of us probably don't remember last Shabbat's message, but the tanner's house reeked. Why? Because of his job. He would tan the hides. He would be dealing with animal carcasses. And so to have a breath of fresh air, because in most cases, there would be like a courtyard where there would be vats where these animal carcasses who had been stripped were put in certain solutions so that the flesh would be removed. The soft flesh would be removed from the skin. And so all these odorous things are going on. And so Kepha goes up on the roof there, and he enters into prayer. Verse 10, he began to feel hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing the meal, he fell into a trance. Notice this. Cornelius had a vision, and there was an angel involved. Here, Kepha is praying, and he enters into a trance, in which he saw heaven opened and something that looked like a large sheet being lowered to the ground by its four corners. Notice in that verse it says, it looked like. It appeared as so. Going forward. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures, and wild birds. Then a voice came to him, get up, Kepha, slaughter and eat. But Kepha said, no, sir, absolutely not. I've never eaten food that was unclean or treif. The voice said to him a second time, stop treating as unclean what God has made clean. This happened three times, and then the sheet was immediately taken back up to heaven. So what was the command there for Kepha to do? To go out and slaughter and eat, right? Or was it? Because in that very next verse there, what does it say? Kepha was still puzzling over the meaning of this vision that he had seen. So first he went into a trance, and then he received the vision. When the men Cornelius had sent, having inquired for Shimon's house, stood at the gate. Why didn't they just simply walk in? Because this was a Jewish home. and they are Gentiles. And Jews and Gentiles very seldomly mixed together. They would meet in the marketplace and sell one to another, but usually they were not invited to one another's homes. And so they're waiting by the gate there and called out to ask if Shimon, known as Kepha, was staying there. While Kepha's mind was still on the vision, the Spirit said, "Three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and have no misgivings about going with them, because I myself have sent them." See, this was not usual. Because if a group of Gentiles came to your gates, and one of them was a military aide, he was probably dressed in the Roman uniform. And just for your mind would just begin spinning and saying, "What have I done? Are they here to arrest me?" See, Gentiles and Jews did not mix. They were two separate societies. And from Kepha's mindset, if a Roman was sent to get him, most likely he was in some kind of trouble. And that's why the Spirit is saying, "Go with them. Simply go, for I have sent them." And so we have to stop and we have to examine all these things, because many times when we read the scriptures, we read them from our culture or from our former understanding or opinions, and we need to dissect. We have to take everything one point at a time and think it through. You see, God has never asked his people to stop thinking, to meditate on God's word, so that we could fully understand what is truly going on. So let us move forward here. So Kepha went down and said to the men, you were looking for me? Here I am. What brings you here?" Why is he asking these questions? Did not the one that gave him the trance and the vision say to them that they were sent by that individual? Not speaking of Cornelius, but the Spirit of the living God. They answered, "Cornelius is a Roman army officer." So what do you think the thoughts are going on in Kepha's mind right now? Even though he heard the voice speak to them that "I've sent them." See, Kepha is interpreting things through his life experience. You know, God is speaking to us from time to time, and he has to deal with our past life experience and how we interpret things and how we misinterpret things and have opinions or preconceived ideas of what's really going on. See, God is speaking to Kepha and he's pulling him from his culture so that he may be able to be an evangelist and a missionary to other cultures. And you know what? For a Jewish person to step out of your culture and to allow yourself to be exposed to reaching other nations and other peoples, you're putting your life in jeopardy. And this is all what is taking place here. So let us move forward. They answered Cornelius, "He's a Roman officer, an upright man and a God-fearer, a man highly regarded by the whole Jewish nation. And he was told by a holy angel to have you come to his house and listen to what you have to say." See, this information was important. Because Caiaphas had no idea that this Roman officer that was demanding that he'd come to his home was a God-fearer. So I believe in Caiaphas' heart, can you imagine what his pulse was like and his heartbeat was going? And then talking about that this individual, this Cornelius, he has a good reputation with the Jewish community. You could probably count on one hand how many Roman officers had a good reputation among the people that they were placed over as an oppressor and had a good reputation. So let us move forward here. And he was told by a holy angel to have you come to his house and to listen to what you have to say. So God sent a holy angel there. Now think about this just in chapter 9. Here we have an individual named Rav Shaul. As Alan shared before, he was going and pursuing the Messianic community. And he desired, out of his zeal, to put an end to it and put an end to them. And here God used a light to speak to Rav Shaul. But then there's an individual that in the city of Damascus, his name is Hananiah, and there's the Lord speaking to him and telling him certain things so that there would be confirmation in their hearts that both Caiaphas and Hananiah were walking in the will of God. So let us move forward here. So Caiaphas invited them to be his guests. Just think about that. That wasn't his house. It was a house of another Jewish man, also named Shimon or Simon, who is a leather tanner. And so he's inviting them into that house. And many times when we read this scripture, we just go to the next verse, and we don't stop and think about the importance. This is a turning point. Because up to this time, no Gentile person was added to the kingdom of God until chapter 10 of the book of Acts. You can search the scriptures and find that that is true. So let us move forward here. So Caiaphas invited them to be his guests there. And this was unusual. This is my commentary on it. This was unusual for Jewish people from the nations to be with the nations and stay in the same house. The next day, he, Caiaphas, got up and went with them. And this was something new. Now, the scripture says that he was accompanied by some of the brothers from Yafo. And who were they? Fellow Messianic believers. Because this was unheard of. Okay? Because when the disciples saw Yeshua speaking to that Samaritan woman, they were scratching their heads saying, what's he doing? We have no dealings with Samaritans. But Yeshua was setting the template of what was to be done in the future. The good news of Yeshua's death and resurrection wasn't just for the Jewish people alone, but it was for all the nations. But what God had to do is he had to prepare the hearts and minds of these 11 Talmudim, these 11 disciples, including Rav Shaul, had to prepare them to open up themselves to go and proclaim the good news. So let us continue to move forward here. And he, in verse 24, and he, Caiaphas, arrived at Caesarea the day after that. So they spent some time together. And you know, people from the outside, here's a Roman soldier, and there are two slaves, and what's accompanying them? But Caiapha, and there's a group of Messianic Jewish men that are following there. And from outsiders, it looks like these men are potentially under arrest, and they'll be about to be brought to a prison to be judged. And he, Caiapha, arrived at Caesarea the day after that, and Cornelius was expecting them. He had already called together his relatives and his close friends. Why did he do that? Because he saw in a vision that God was going to send to him a man named Shimon, Caiapha, and that he had a message that his family and his relatives needed to hear, because they were all God-fearers. Remember that. They are not Jews, but they're from the nations. Verse 25, as Caiapha entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell prostrate at his feet. Can you imagine that? Here's all the relatives. Cornelius is probably wearing his uniform, representing Rome. And here he is, he falls prostrate before a Jewish fisherman. Let's look at it in the full context here. Don't you think that took his relatives, Cornelius' relatives and his servants, and his other military aides, and just totally shocked them? What's he doing? Let's go forward here. But Caiapha pulled him to his feet and said, stand up, for I am just a man. And before we move too quickly over this, for a Jew to put their hands on a Roman officer, that was potentially for him to be immediately put to death, because that officer represented Rome, the oppressive nation. But here Caiapha helps him to his feet and says, stand up. I myself am just a man. And you know what? You may look over that and say, well, that's no big deal. There was a transformation of looking at individuals. And think about this. When you become a believer in Messiah, and the Lord reveals to you that there are lost people in your community, you have an opinion, you have prejudice, and you have preconceived ideas about them. And that's what the Spirit of Living God is dealing with Caiapha here. Because these people were not people that you wanted to befriend, actually have nothing to do with. And that's the reality here. So let us continue. And so what, stand up, for I myself am just a man. Here's my commentary. In this statement, Caiapha was revealing the ongoing change that God was doing in his life. He now saw people from the nations as equals. That was brand new. Up to the revelation of the sheep and all these animals, he had a different opinion on everything. His old prejudices were being changed to Abba, Father God's perspectives. And notice in Acts 10:15, these words are said. The voice said to him a second time, stop treating as unclean what God has made clean. Now, if you were simply just to read the words, you would think, well, that's just dealing with animals. God used animals, unclean animals, as a symbol of the nations. Let's move forward. Verse 27. As he talked with him, Caiapha went inside and found many people gathered. He said to them, notice this. And to go and to speak to people, you usually want to do what? Find common ground. You want to share, you want to compliment them. But he's stating things as factual. Here are the words that Cephas said. And this is his message that he's sharing. You are aware that for a man who is a Jew to have close association with someone who belongs to another people or come to visit him is something that is just isn't done. Remember the word from the Spirit that spoke to him? Don't ask any questions. Go down and go with them. All right? Let's move forward. But God has shown me not to call any person common and unclean. Yeah, but Rabbi Frank, the sheet, it was unclean animals. Are we not to take what the apostle is how to interpret the vision and what is on the sheet and its true meaning? Are we to conjecture what we believe is to be done? God has given us both prophets and apostles to reveal God's word. And this is recorded from Cephas' own lips. This is not a Bible commentator or a person that's interpreting God's word for you, but this is coming from his mouth. As we move forward, we will notice that he never talks about the sheet there to Cornelius or the assembled group. Let's hear that word again. God has shown me not to call any person common or unclean. So in Cephas' eyes, anyone from the nations was unclean and common. So when I was summoned, I came without raising any questions. Tell me, why did you send for me? Now, who is he addressing that to but Cornelius himself? Can't you sense the tension that's going on in this room? Verse 30. Cornelius answered, 3 days ago around this time, I was at Micha prayers. You know what? Kepha has messianic men that are with him. You know what they're hearing? That this God-fearer does as they do. And he prays during the time of the Micha prayers. Going forward. I was at the Micha prayers in my house. He wasn't at the synagogue. Why? Because he wouldn't be allowed to be in the synagogue. If you study about the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles, the God-fearers who were allowed to come and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not part of the priesthood. They were not converted to Judaism, but they were simply God-fearers. Let's move forward. When suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me, in front of me, and said, God has heard your prayer and remembered your acts of charity. Now send to Yafo and ask for Shimon, known as Kepha. He is staying in the house of Shimon the leather tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. And you now have been kind enough to come. Now all of us are here in the presence of God to hear everything that the Lord has ordered you to say. Think about that. And you know who's hearing that? Those messianic Jewish men who accompanied with him. So they're hearing all this and everyone that's assembled there. And notice that everything that the Lord has told you to say. Then Kepha addressed him. Now I understand that God does not play favorites. Do we not read on occasion in the Tanakh, where there were godly Gentiles, Noah, Ruth. Let's move forward. But whatever So Caiaphas answered them, "I now understand that God does not play favorites, but whoever fears him," underline that word in your mind, heart, and soul. Are you fearing Adonai? "But whoever fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what people he belongs to." That's why we read, when we read through the Passover Haggadah, and where it talks in the scripture there that the children of Israel left Israel, but also a mixed company with them. God-fearers went with them. Let's go forward here. Now he says, here is the message that he sent the son of Israel to the sons of Israel, announcing shalom, announcing peace through Yeshua the Messiah, who is the Lord of everything. So he's proclaiming that to the Messianic male believers that are with him, that came with him, and also to everyone that's assembled in that house, that the Lord, Yeshua, is the Lord of everything. And so there are some of these relatives of Cornelius that potentially are not God-fearers yet, but they're now being exposed to there is one true God. And it's through the Lord that everything was created, and he's Lord over everything. Let's move forward. You know that what has been going throughout Yehuda, Judah, starting with Galilee, and after the immersion that Yohanan proclaimed, how God anointed Yeshua from Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and with power, and how Yeshua went about doing good and healing all people oppressed by the adversary, setting them free, because God was with him. As for us, now who is he speaking of? But the 11, Talmudim, the apostles, and only says that Caiaphas is here. It says that a group of Messianic believers went with him from Yafo, from Simon the leather tanner's home. And so they're hearing all these things. As for us, we're witnesses of everything he did, both in the Judean countryside and Jerusalem. They did away with him by hanging him on a stake. If someone has, and this is from Deuteronomy, I'll skip over that. We'll go right to 40. We'll go into deeper in another time. Verse 40. But God raised him, Yeshua, up on the third day, and let him be seen, not by all people, but by the witnesses God had previously chosen. Remember those encounters? As we went through the book of Matthew, he revealed to himself to the 11. It says up to 500 people he revealed himself, Yeshua did. That is, by us who ate and drank with him after he had risen again from the dead. Then he commanded us to proclaim and to attest to the Jewish people that this man, Yeshua, has been appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. This was brand new revelation and proclamation to the Jewish people who did not know Messiah. All the prophets bear witness to him, who is the him but Yeshua, that everyone who puts his trust in him, Yeshua, receives forgiveness of their sins and through his name. Then Caiaphas was saying these things that when the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all who were hearing the message. Where else is it recorded that everyone that was assembled into a place where the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh, fell upon them? But Acts chapter 2. But this is the very first time that the Ruach HaKodesh is falling upon the people from the nations. God is doing a brand new thing. Salvation is of the Jews, but it's not only for the Jewish people. The nation of Israel is for all the nations. All the believers from the circumcision faction who had accompanied Kepha were amazed that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was being poured out. Why? Because it did not line up with their theology and their traditions. Why? Because it never had happened before. It was undeniable. This was the Spirit of the living God doing as God the Father desired for him to do. And what was being added to the Messianic community there? But people from the nations, those who were formerly unclean and seen as common, were now being grafted in to the olive tree of Israel. The called out ones, both Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. Where did it begin? But in Acts chapter 10. Let's move forward here. All the believers from the circumcision faction who had accompanied Kepha were amazed that the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh was being poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in what? Tongues. Various known languages. Where did that happen before? Acts chapter 2. And what were they saying? They were praising God. Simply praising God in multiple languages. Kepha's response was, is anyone prepared to prohibit these people from being immersed in water? And who is he addressing? But the faction of the circumcision. Because up to that point, in Kepha's mind too, for you to become part of the commonwealth of Israel, you, as a male, you had to do what? Undergoing circumcision. And then later a mikvah, an immersion. For women, you can't circumcise a woman. It's impossible. But they can go under the waters of immersion. And we're going to deal with that even more in chapter 11. And we're going to deal with that even more. This faction, this division. There's turmoil because what has happened here is the Spirit of the living God has released a hornet's nest. Because things are changing. And what the people that were seen as being unclean, uncommon, are now being grafted in. Because these men who were standing there, who were God-fearers, who were uncircumcised, were receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is unthinkable. Because this was God's plan. God ordains things. And who are you and I to stand before God and say, I forbid you, God, from doing your will? Are we not to follow the will of the Father in everything? And the interpretation of what happens, is it not to be from the one that receives that vision? And if that person be an apostle like Kepha, are we not to believe the words that he say? Absolutely. Is anyone prepared to prohibit these people from being immersed in water? After all, they have received the Ruach HaKodesh just as we did. Who can argue that point? Yeah, but Kepha, shouldn't they, before we immerse them, can't we just circumcise them? Verse 48. And he, Kepha, ordered that they be immersed in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Then they asked Kepha to stay on with them for a few more days. Fellowship. Koinonia. And I know this, the God-fearers, they knew what types of food that Kepha ate and those that came with him. And they would not present those unclean foods and treif, non-kosher foods, before them. And you know, there it takes time when you come from a certain culture, and it's the Spirit of living God reveals to us what of that culture is pleasing in God's sight and what is not. And it's the Spirit of living God that weeds all those things out. As people study God's word, blessed be the name of the Lord. We will be continuing this message, and I'll be going even more in depth on what a God-fearer is and all these other issues. And we'll be reading Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 11. Because that's the dietary law that God has set up for the Jewish people to follow. God has done this. And for us to fully understand the dynamic of being able to reach to other people of various cultures, there's guidelines, and the scripture gives us all this. Because it's the Father's desire that from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will come to know and embrace salvation, who is a person, Yeshua, both our Redeemer and our Lord. Shabbat Shalom.